ever tried watching your athlete's game from anywhere in the world? With Replayer, you actually can. I had a friend watch his son's game live from his flight. My son watched a live game from the car while we were driving up the California coast. It doesn't matter where you are, grandparents across the country, cousins on the other side of the world, teammates who just moved away, set up the camera, hit go live, and everyone with a link is right there on the sideline. Live streaming is free. Unlimited games, unlimited teams, unlimited users. No complex tiers. Everyone gets access. And forget waiting hours for footage. I recorded a 60-minute game, and it was ready in 5 minutes. Players were clipping highlights on the ride home. One camera, made in the USA, unlimited everything. If you never want to miss those moments, head to replayer.com. The link is in the show notes. Hey soccer friends, I just want to give a shout out to our partner, TeamPlayer. They are changing the game on how you find the perfect soccer team for your player. Parents, this means no more endless social media scrolling to find information on teams. With TeamPlayer, everything you need to know is just a few clicks away. It's simple, straightforward, and lets you find the best coach and team for your player without any of the usual headaches. And coaches, we all know how tough it can be to get your team noticed, but when you subscribe to one of TeamPlayer's team plans, you instantly get access to set up an online team profile that allows you to reach more potential players and showcase what your team is all about. It's super easy and lets players and parents see why your team could be the right fit for them. And if you sign up using the promo code PITCH, you can try any team plan free for 1 month. So whether you're managing a team or searching for one, come on over to www.teamplayer.us. That is TeamPlayer.us. And come give TeamPlayer a look.
Family-owned Soccer Innovation is your go-to source for top-quality equipment. Whether you're a player, a supportive family member, or a dedicated coach, they have everything you need to elevate your game. For players, their innovative equipment are designed to boost your skills and performance on the pitch. From their agility cones to their portable goals, they have you covered. And family members, they offer durable equipment that's built to last because we know your support is critical to your player. Coaches, trust me, they can provide the equipment you need to run effective training sessions and shape the next generation of soccer players. Visit Soccer Innovations at soccerinnovations.com to start elevating your game with them.
And if you use the code PITCH, P-I-T-C-H, you can receive up to 10% off your next order.
Hello, and this is Ian Babcock with Chat by the Pitch. We're doing a finish up part two of Cross City with Skylar Simmons. Let's head to the pitch.
Now going kind of down the same path of highlighting players and families and what they're doing. Do you guys use that for recruiting purposes then? I mean, I know I'm bouncing all over the place, but do you guys use that for recruiting? Because I feel like when you have that family mentality and it's truly genuine, people gravitate towards that. So do you guys use that in part of your recruiting then?
I mean, yes and no. We don't go out to a field and say, hey, our team is a family, come join us. But, you know, I think I said this to one coach in back in the day, and he wanted us to come join his club. And, you know, we decided to go obviously our route with Cross City. But the thing I told him, and it kind of resonated with him, resonated with me, was if I get a kid out to a training session, 9 times out of 10, he's going to love the training session and want to join our team because we have our kids are welcoming, our kids are nice, our kids love each other, our kids are very good athletes, and the team is a good team. So you have all of that stuff, and it turns into a recruiting tool, but it's not so much like a pre-planned recruiting tool, if that makes sense. It's more so it's turned into one but it only really works whenever you have someone come out and witness it themselves. It words are one thing, but if you can witness what a training session is like with all their teams, then you'll see, hey, this is, you know, their buddies, their friends, the coaches is someone that has that character that you want to be around, or the team has that sense of family that you want to be around. So that's kind of how it goes, if it makes sense. Not so much really a recruiting tool in the common sense, but more so a recruiting tool that it's kind of turned into one.
Right. It organically grew to be that. It does not mean not blasting it on social media and trying to use it as a sales tactic. You want people to come and actually physically experience it versus having it passed on via
text. For sure. Yeah, for sure.
Short or verbiage.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. Yeah, it as you said, organically has turned into that. It's hard to convey through written words. It's easier to say, you know, when we're speaking about it, you know, because you can see what I'm feeling, or you can feel what I'm feeling and hear what I'm trying to convey. And it's much easier that way. But it's written words, it just doesn't quite go out as well. So that's why I always said, if they come out to a training session, you'll see the difference. And at that point, that's when it's a recruiting tool.
So, I mean, because I'm assuming your main form of recruiting, we've talked about it earlier, is your skills and those little skills clinics that you guys run. And do you guys plan on doing that type of stuff more regularly, like have it actually set where like people know that on Friday night or Thursday night, they can come out and get extra touches. And there's just the only commitment is leaving contact information. Is that, you mentioned it, because I look at my kid and a lot of times like having him just meet and being coached by other coaches and meet other kids with other clubs, when they see each other on the soccer field, it's so much more exciting for my son's 8. He'll be 9 next month. Mm-hmm. And he gets really excited when he knows someone on the opposing team. It just as soccer is a community. Like I view it as a community sport. Like you play against your best friend or you play against a good friend. And someday you might be teammates, or you might go just jump in a tournament with them because you've fostered a relationship. And do you guys see that as a positive impact with your skills then? I mean, I'm looking at this from the broad perspective because you guys have such, from 4-year-olds to going to be 18-year-olds. How, like, I'm rambling here and I don't know how to put it.
No. I totally understand what you're saying. Yeah, you know, right now we have Tuesdays and Thursdays where it's a free skill session night. And my plan is to broaden that up, especially now that we have reached a little bit less busy period of the year when it comes to club soccer events, is to make it a little bit more, have a couple more days in there to be able to do what we want. And as I told you before, I would love to be able to open up like a weekend, just pick up soccer thing where, again, the only obligation is just make sure you leave your contact information. So, you know, one, for safety purposes, two, recruiting purposes. And three, just to make sure that if there are any trouble, we can say, hey, this is the list of people we have, you know, and there turns into no non-issue at that point. So for that reason, if we can open it up to those pickup night or pickup mornings or afternoons on weekends where it's just literally you have a puck goal, it's a 40x40 grid, and you got lines lined out with cones or with paint, however you want, over there at our fields at Church 1132. And you get kids to play and play and play. And then after an hour or two, call it a night or day and see how many people are loving it enough to stick around, or see how many people are cultivating new relationships, or, hey, it's a bunch of buddies. So they get to cultivate their previous relationship they had with these people even more. So, you know, it kind of a three-way thing that goes to benefit a lot of different aspects, you know, heck, not just knowing that, hey, Cross City's doing pickup on weekends and we got nothing going on in the month of December and January because our league doesn't start till February. It's just nice to have our name out there. So, that, you know, positive just with that. And then obviously the recruiting process and the kids being able to bring a bunch of friends together. And so there's not really a negative point to it. It's just really something that gets everyone out there playing the sport more.
That's awesome. What leagues, what letters of the alphabet leagues do you guys?
Yeah, alphabet soup stuff. Yeah. So the top leagues that we're participating in are Classic right now. You know, we have quite a few in Classic D1, quite a few in, or I think one in Classic D2. So we have three Classic D1 teams, one Classic D2 team. And then our supplemental leagues, or the main leagues for the rest of the groups, are National Premier League, the NPL through U90C, as well as the Regional Premier League, RPL with U90C. So those are kind of the three leagues that we do. We do a winter league that I ask the parents coach in the winter league so that the kids get a little break from us coaches and just can go out there and just play and enjoy themselves. And, you know, they might pick up some bad habits, sure, but really it's just parents going out there and just making sure kids are subbing at the right time, making sure that kids are going through a warm-up correctly and stuff like that. And then it's just pure enjoyment soccer. So those are kind of the leagues we do. You know, as I told you, with our new partner, strategic partnership with the USL side, Corpus Christi FC, the goal in a year or two is to be able to join the USL Academy, which is a little bit more of a travel league. And I'm hoping, you know, a little personal goal of mine is that we can bring USL to the North Texas area, because there's just too much talent in this area to not have some sort of higher level professional team outside of North Texas Soccer Club and FC Dallas to be able to, you know, have a pathway. Because if you have that USL club, the MLS Next club, and MLS club, you have a true pyramid of levels here in Dallas, because some of it right now feels unattainable for many people. So having that attainable goal would be nice. And USL Academy would be one of those ways to be able to do that for our kids. So that's in a year or two, we're hoping to make that happen and create a little bit of a splash in the North Texas area.
That's awesome. Down the same line, I always hear ECNL. That's the big letter, and MLS Next are the two big names I'm hearing. MLS Next is new, but ECNL has been around for a while. Is there to get into that, or do you guys not see that as a priority because it's not a?
So, it's, to me, in order to improve the sport as well as to improve your kids, you need to have a goal and you need to have a consequence. ECNL does not provide either. You know, you could finish last with zero wins and, you know, one goal scored and 10 matches and you don't get relegated to the league below. You can finish first with 10 wins and 100 goals scored in 10 matches. And you get to move on to a tournament at the end of the season, you know, the regionals and the nationals. So, it's not a promotion. It's a chance to continue playing soccer in a tournament aspect. So to me, you need to have that promotion relegation for true growth as a player, as well as a team, as well as a club. Because, you know, every club's going to go through hard parts. You know, there might be a club where, hey, I don't have a single classic team. Or, hey, I don't have a single, you know, Plano D1 team. You know, whatever it is, you have to respond. You know, hey, I need to change the curriculum. Or as a coach, hey, I need to cultivate my talent a little bit more, and then we need to get back up to where we belong. So I don't think we'll ever join ECNL. One, I don't think they would want a small club involved in it. You know, we've had discussions with ECNL about it, and, you know, the note was, hey, you have to jump in with X and X club, and then since you're smaller than them, you have to wear their uniforms, and it has to be that club's name in our standing. So Cross City Soccer Club won't be involved at all. And at that point, it's like, well, then what is the point of even joining, you know, making our Cross City Soccer Club? We would have to join this other club, and, you know, there's no benefit to it. There's just being able to play in a league that is no promotion, no relegation. You're playing against teams that aren't necessarily better than who you're playing against in our domestic leagues, you know, and there's not really a benefit to me. I see why it could be a benefit to others. You know, if you're a big club, you want to be able to have that title and that badge. And, you know, it comes with a pedigree, especially if you're at the highest level of ECNL. Like, hey, I'm on the ECNL team. We're playing against ECNL teams from Houston, from San Antonio, from, you know, Nevada, all this stuff. And sure, that no argument there. But I would say that there's a limit to that pedigree. And it doesn't necessarily mean it's bad, but it definitely isn't as fantastic as I think it's being marketed to be.
Now, do you think the MLS Next is something where, I mean, most of those you have to be affiliated with an MLS club, but is that, you said USL Academy, which is a direction you guys want to head, so that's any academy can join that then?
Correct, yeah. So the only requirement with the USL is that you're affiliated with the USL club of some degree. It doesn't necessarily mean you're like, hey, your name is the USL team. So for example, we're obviously staying Cross City Soccer Club and Corpus Christi is staying Corpus Christi, and we're only mingling together to be able to provide a platform for kids as well as find, you know, be able to be seen in a higher platform as well as development of players from all over Corpus as well as all over here and for Cross City Soccer Club, Allen Kids and whoever else we have involved within the club. So we can be within USL with that affiliate, you know, and still wear our Cross City stuff and all that. And that is why I think it is more beneficial. And don't get me wrong, MLS Next is the truth. You have top level players. I'm chomping at the bits to recruit someone from MLS Next as a UTD coach. I will always say that they're top level players, but there's only two MLS Next teams in all of DFW. So it's not accessible. That's just an unfortunate truth. That is the top of the top. It is not accessible to the average player or even above average player. You're talking about the best of the best. So to me, being able to provide that USL where it's, hey, we have really, really good players, and USL is something where you can, as I said before, springboard a professional career, then yeah, we should be able to jump into it and offer that to kids. Because we, you know, sometimes with the bigger clubs, even if you're one of the best players, you're not necessarily getting picked. It could be something as simple as, hey, we want this type of player for this position with this coach. So, hey, there goes one of the two MLS Next teams. I can't make it because the coach doesn't like the type of player I am, or he's looking for something else in that particular position. And now you're going to the other one. And if you're, you know, I'll just use FC Dallas because everyone knows that that's the big brother around here with big name, has the big following and, you know, has a lot of resources around. So let's say, hey, they said no to me. All right, well, now I have one other club to choose from. Let's hope it works out. If it doesn't, what do I do? Do I go down to ECNL where now there's three divisions and there's no promotion or relegation and, you know, you're trying to find out where you land? Or do I go to a club where they might not be ECNL, but they could be a top level classic team? It just turns into a lot of what's and ifs and, you know, what can happen, how can it happen type of thing. So I like being able to provide the option of, hey, this is still a professional base. It's just not the top professional base, so that kids can go in and say, my dream isn't over. You know, I didn't make the MLS Next team. I'm not playing pro. That's it. Hey, there's a USL team over here where, you know, maybe I just need to get cultivated a little bit more, and then I can try again for MLS Next, and then I can, you know, stick with USL and give it a try at MLS or the level below that, you know, USL League 2, League 1, the championship, whatever it is in USL. And then hopefully I can go from there to the next level. So that's kind of what I was thinking when I thought of the USL just being able to be another pathway, another option, an option with a league that's been around for years upon years upon years. That's why I think it's a good outlet for smaller clubs as well as kids that are good players but just didn't necessarily make one of the two teams in the area.
Gotcha. No, I mean, that makes sense. I mean, it's like you said, it's achieving that goal. And I know this is kind of a corny way of putting it, but you and your co-owner are kind of like the parents of the club, and you're trying to find the best avenue to achieve your kids, the players, your athletes' dreams. I mean, that's what we do as parents. We try to make things realistically and have those realistic conversations. But if there's something there and we see it, we give them the option of the chance of growth. We don't try to deny it. And that leads me into my next question. How do you turning kids away? Do you guys turn kids away because of financial situations, or do you guys go out and find player sponsors or teams, club sponsorships to help players grow?
We have never turned anyone away for financial reasons, ever. You know, we've helped team or families and kids in the middle of season when, you know, tragic situations happen or, you know, something has changed financially for that family, you know, and we're doing it this year where there was a, you know, there was an incident that happened that unfortunately meant that the financial situation changed for a family and within our club, and, you know, they were struggling and they were like, hey, listen, can we get an extension on payments? And Alex and I looked at each other. We're like, no, just don't worry about it. Well, the club will eat the cost. We rather you not have soccer be a detriment to making your life happy. It shouldn't be a financial burden for you to be able to play soccer with your friends and, or have your family have to decide, hey, soccer, or, you know, are we able to go on a family vacation, you know, driving to San Antonio? We have to choose one or the other. Or, hey, you know, Christmas is going to be smaller because we're paying monthly for soccer. That's not what we want. You know, so we work with packages, payment packages that are very flexible. We offer financial scholarship for those that need it. We have a financial needs process that help players and stuff like that. And I'm not quite sure because I haven't been affiliated in coaching with the bigger clubs before, but, you know, our payment options are a lot longer. So we ask that payments are done by December with a normal payment plan. So they pay monthly starting, you know, obviously there's the down payment in July and then they pay monthly until December and then they're done. And then we offer extensions based on financial need if that comes about. You know, we have a couple families that are like, hey, listen, we can pay just a little tight. Can we get an extension to February to pay off the payments? Sure. No problem. Thanks for letting us know. We'd rather you tell us than us sit here wondering what's going on. You know, so we have players that are, you know, have less financial means. And they come in and say, listen, we want to play for your club. You know, my husband and I work, you know, full-time jobs. I'm a mechanic and she's a custodian. Just an example off the top of my head. And, you know, financially we could use some help. And we said, all right, well, this is what we can offer. What do you think? And they said, yeah, that's something we can do. And again, because we have that family sense, you know, in our club, there's a lot of people that are going to be truthful and say, yeah, that's a number that we can do. Now, obviously with every club, there's someone that's going to try to take advantage of that, but there's too many people that would be able to prosper from such financial help and family sense than there are going to be people trying to take advantage of the situation. And I rather help those that need the help than, and maybe have a couple that don't riding that same wave than the opposite of not helping anyone. So that's kind of what we do financially to help people and what our again, keeping our philosophy of family within the club to take care of those within us.
Because I just know, like, when I was coaching, you see kids that, like, they want to play, but the parents can't afford the $100 a month fee or whatever the fee may be. And when you get to U11, it just turns into couple hundred dollars a month, and then you're playing $3,000-$4,000, then league fees and traveling and all on top of that. So are you guys planning on partnering with local businesses to help offset costs for the club for sponsorships so you guys can offer scholarships or things along that line then?
So there's three ways. The way you spoke about it, partnering with local businesses, is something that we thought about and we're not opposed to it. We just haven't really jumped on it just because we haven't had a giant need for it yet. The other one is that because, you know, we are a community service type of club, we have a donation page that we have up there for that. 100% all the donations go to scholarship funds for kids within the club, and parents within the club can, you know, donate to that page, and it's 100% optional. There's no requirement at all. So optional donations that can go up to however much they want or however little. You know, we had a very generous family donate $500 on signing day, and then we've had donations of $25 as well. So anything helps to help these kids not have to, you know, or families not have to worry about the financial burden. And then the third one is sometimes a club just needs to take the hit, you know, and we're not trying to become millionaires, you know, Alex and I through this. That's not what our goal was. Our goal was literally just to be able to create a family club that helps the community and teaches kids how to play soccer in the way that we think is best And we don't mind taking financial hits when it comes to that. As I said, I was a very fortunate person. My family did well. We never had trouble being able to pay for soccer. So I was very fortunate, and I want kids to have that same sense of security with soccer. You come to Cross City Soccer Club, you don't have to worry about paying a ridiculous amount for soccer. You don't have to worry about meeting those monthly payments. We're very affordable. You know, we did a little bit of a market review of what most clubs are charging for the year for soccer. And, you know, we reduced it down. And, you know, for us, if we did the math correctly, for every training session you're with Cross City Soccer Club, it's, if my math is correct, so they got, take this with a grain of salt, because my math has always been a little bit on the sketchy side, not always the best, but through my math, it's $4.50 a practice. If you add that, if you just did the you know, collected at practice, that's that technically what it would be. You know, so $4.50 a practice session 2 times a week for almost the whole year. And then that's what you're paying for club soccer with us. While in other clubs, it is more around the, you know, I think it's $9 or $10 range a month or a practice session. So we're trying to be within that group where it's like, hey, it's affordable. We can still be able to cover the costs that we need to be able to upkeep our field that we're maintaining, and as well as be able to provide the salaries to our coaches, as well as to be able to provide gear for the training sessions for our players, and so on and so forth. So with all that being said, to put a nice bow on it, money is not the most important thing to us, and we want kids to play. That's the important thing to us.
So then do you guys do fundraisers throughout the season then? I mean, I know you said you do mixers and this type of stuff. And I'm assuming, do you guys do fundraisers to help offset like league fees and all that fun stuff?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, with our mixers, we have the donation option, and that's kind of our fundraising, is just the donation option. We haven't had a need for big fundraisers yet. At this time, we have a lot of our athletes that are comfortable. We haven't had any crazy situations outside of the one that has been taken care of in terms of the financial side of things. And again, it's a very small hit compared to having happy people and happy kids. So we're not very worried about the money side of it. And we cover the league costs through our regular fees. You know, it's very, it covers almost everything. So it's very, been very easy, to be honest with you, the financial side of things. It, you know, as long as you're truthful, as long as you're open, as long as you communicate with your families and your kids, and well, more so families and the kids, obviously, because they're not involved with the financial side of things as much. But as long as you communicate, then things tend to work out, and it's been that way so far.
That's awesome. So you said leagues or fees are covered in. Do you guys play tournaments then?
And yes.
Are those above and beyond then normally, because those are
That's the thing, is we have two options with that. So we have the team fee option. So you can pay a team fee and make it a monthly payment, or pay it all up front. So our team fee is $450 and it's optional. So you can pay $450 in the form of monthly payments, or pay the $450 right there. And it covers all your tournaments for the year, and anything that is not used within those team fees rolls over to next year's team fees. So say, hey, there's, and God forbid this happens, but say there's another COVID year and we didn't attend a single tournament. Well, the $450 you paid now goes over to next year. So you don't have to worry about the team fee next year. The other option we have is that you just pay whatever the amount divided is evenly amongst the team. So like half of my 08 team does the team fee. So, you know, there's, I think 10 kids that are on the team fee option, and then there's, 9 kids that aren't. So we just, you know, divide the amount of the tournament, whatever it is, like just $800, divide that by 19, take the payment for the team fee players out of the club bank account, and then request the, whatever it is, $65, for the other 9, you know, to collect it from them. And they send it, you know, Venmo, PayPal, Zelle, cash, check, whatever it is, and hand that over to the manager. And there we go. Everything's covered at that point.
That's awesome. Okay. Because my brain thinks it's like, soccer is the least expensive sport, I think, to play. But because we're Americans, it is one of the most becomes one of the more expensive sports.
Yep, that's for sure.
And because football, you need all the equipment, all that stuff, and a lot of stuff is hand-me-downs from other years, and or it can be. Maybe not now, but it used to be. But soccer, I feel like all you need is a ball and a pitch, and you don't need much for a goal. You just need an open space to go play. And it's just nice to hear that there's that they don't have to worry.
Players, yeah, I appreciate that. It's something that you know, when we first started the club, Alex and I sat down and said, yeah, this was a problem in previous years, and we want it to be a non-problem. So that's what we decided to do.
That's great. I hope that you guys can continue down that path, because I feel like a lot of kids benefit from that, like you said, family environment of sports, where they have a sense of belonging, and sometimes kids are just trying to find their place, and they have that moment of having that family to fall back to that's not their blood family, so to speak. Nice to have. So moving to curriculum, so how do you guys do, like, the since there's four of you, it's super, I'm assuming it's easy, a yearly curriculum that you guys are building upon year after year? So I've asked other coaches and clubs their opinion on, do they share their curriculum in written context to families, like, this is our game plan for this year, and then next year we're going to be building upon this, and then, but at the younger age groups they're getting that. So if you're using it right now for, let's say you're using it for a U9 team, in 4 years or 4 years you'll be start using it again for your new U4 team. So when you're starting with the younger kids, you're just recycling the program through, or are you guys constantly developing new plans and ideas, or do you guys cater everything based on the players you have?
A mixture of all of that, actually. So as you said, it's easy because it's only four of us. But we have long-term goals in terms of what type of players we want within the club. You know, for me and Alex, the most important thing that we learned as players when we were youth players was the tactical side of the game. If you have a smart player, then you can build from that to be anything. The soccer IQ is something that I think is not emphasized enough in modern day American soccer, and more so, hey, you know, the athletic side of things, as well as the, you know, and there's some clubs that are very focused on the technical side of things, which is also very, very good. But end of the day, to me, the most important thing is to have a soccer brain. If you understand the sport and you can read the game, then you can do anything in the game. So for that, the beginning part of our club, the academy side, everything is ball mastery. You know, we go to the technical side, cultivate that in the early ages as much and as heavily and as aggressively as possible. And then once you start getting to the select ages, we want smart players. So we build on possession-based soccer using your brains, going in and out of space, you know, and building upon the ball mastery that was worked on at the young ages very aggressively and very often, and going from there. So, you know, kind of the phases of our build and phases of our club is as simple as this. You know, at the bottom of the pyramid, it's ball mastery. In the middle of the pyramid, it's soccer IQ. And then once you start going up, you start adding things like, all right, hey, we need to start adding the finishing process of this. So now you go from the possession to the finishing. And once you get the finishing, then you can start adding the team pressing or the counter pressing and stuff like that. So I would say our foundation, the very beginning parts of our club, the things that kind of make the difference, you can recognize who a Cross City soccer player is one, ball mastery, two, soccer IQ. And then we start adding the more intricate parts of the soccer philosophy or soccer player philosophy into that, you know. And hardworking is something that starts getting added in. You know, the high pressing soccer is what we also start adding in. The ability to read the next play that goes into now going into a counter attacking move up the field that turns into a goal scoring situation, which then turns into a goal, and then going from there. So it all kind of runs together. But again, to put a bow on it all, ball mastery, possession. Then we start doing the hard work.
Gotcha. I can only know because I don't have a soccer background, like I said earlier. It's I only know what I read, and like I know Barcelona is very secretive for about 5 years, and all of a sudden you just see a big data dump of everything they've done for the last 5 years. But they've already started their new curriculum with players. Like I know that the the basics are always in all of them. But when you start looking through it, it's like they actually change certain things. Maybe, I don't, like you said, soccer IQ is so important. I don't know if soccer IQ is getting better, because if you watch the flow plans of the data coming out of the, I don't know how you want to describe it, like the data that you see coming off the reports going out and showing it on the field, how they're pushing the ball, passing the ball, and the moments they're finding are drastically changing. I mean, the play style is changing from the club, even though Barcelona had a very set style for years. It's just constantly changing. I'm not a Barcelona fan. I'm just saying, like, that's the example I use, because they tend to release a lot of their coaching philosophies after they've pushed them out of their system.
Yeah, no, that makes total sense. Yeah, you know, our philosophy is still growing. You know, Alex is very very much in charge of the philosophy side of things, and he has a much more intricate and better way to explain it than I do. But you know, as you said, it's the game is evolving. You know, and the for me as a coach, I always have pushed that the soccer IQ is something that holds the whole highest standard for me. You know, you work your butt off, you read the game, and you keep the ball. Those are kind of the three things for me as a coach that I try to instill into my players. You know, I always said, if I have a smart player, then I can make a technical player. If I have a smart player, I can make a hardworking player. If I have a smart player, then I have the framework to build a player. So that's kind of what we tried to do on a grand scale with the club. And, you know, unfortunately with the young kids, it's not so much tactics. It's more so, hey, we need to make sure that our kids are very adept with the ball. So that's when that needs to start, that framework. And then we can move into that next phase of things of creating that smart soccer player that can then grow multiple different branches of player from there.
Right. As you're going through the process, do you have conversations then, because this goes to the coaching aspect, is with your coaching philosophy, do you talk about your players' profiles, where you see them? Or do you guys say, we're not going to pigeonhole you until you're about 12 or 14 years old, and we'll start then, we'll still push you around to different positions, because you have to know how to play. In order to play offense, you have to know how to play defense. And when you're attacking, if you know how to beat the defender because you know what moves there are out there, or do you guys start focusing on humming in on skill sets? If they want to play center back, and that's the only position they want to play, will you force them to go play a wing because they need to understand that role? Or do you teach soccer as the play, like the player more dictates of what they want to see versus what you guys want to see? Not the parents, including the parents, because I feel like every club has the issue with parents. It's my kid's a striker. Well, no, your kid has the profile of a center midfielder or a profile of a left back, not really a striker. But how do you approach that with it? Because I honestly feel players should play every position, because in order to learn what your left wing's doing and you're playing left back, you need to understand to play that role once in a while. Or do you think being a utility player is more important?
It really depends on the situation. It's a case-by-case basis. To me, at the younger ages, it's good to have a very broad range of positions that you play, because as you said, you know, they're young. They shouldn't be a right back for the rest of their life. And I'll use a Dallas native, a Plano native. In fact, I'll even go as far to as that. Kellen Acosta, you know, whenever I was playing against him, he was a winger. You know, back in his ASG days before he went over to FC Dallas. I was playing against him, 95 boys all the time. And he would absolutely kill us as a winger, scored plenty of goals, was a monster. And then, you know, he went to FC Dallas and he became a right back, still a monster. And then he went professionally for FC Dallas. And all of a sudden he's in the middle of the field as a center mid. So the world of soccer positionally will change. And, you know, you're always going to change. You'll fit whatever the team needs at that point, and then you need to adapt or you're not going to play. So as a young kid, to us, it's better to have a broad range of multiple, you know, positions and then start honing in on that craft and moving around depending on that, you know. So sometimes it's dictated by what the team needs. You know, whenever I was coaching my 08 team, I had a kid that played center back that is not a very typical center back. He was small. He was really good on the ball. He was very smart. He was very fast, but he was my only player that kind of that could play that position even somewhat well. So he played there for a year. And I told him, I was like, listen, this is all I'm doing is preparing you to be a center mid. There will be a day where you become my center mid. But right now you need to be center back because the team needs it. And also because it's good to practice this for when you become a true center defensive mid, a six. The ball winning six, the passing six, the guy that reads the game. And as soon as we went 11v11, he went and played a six, and that's been his position since, and that's all he's ever wanted to do, and that's what he loves. So, you know, sometimes building the framework through using other positions helps in the long run, and that's kind of what I think at the young age needs to be done. And you will always, as you said, that you always get that parent that says, my kid is a X and X, and the kid is very much, in fact, not an X and X. So he, through that, you know, it's as coaches, we tell them what's best. And if there's a parent that says, hey, this isn't what I want, then at that point, hey, this is what it's going to be. If it doesn't work with you, then we can't work together. And there's going to have to be a change of scenery for you. Because, you know, what we see is what's best for the kid, at least what we think is best for the kid. And it's, if he's responding well to it on the field, there's no reason to change it. We want families that trust us, and we want to trust the families. If there isn't a sense of trust, then there's no sense in us being together. So that's kind of how we deal with that situation. We haven't had any of those, luckily. Most of the time where it's like, hey, I'm this position, and then we say, hey, watch this, and we throw him in that position, and the kid responds well and does well, the parents are like, oh, all right, yeah, you're right, my bad. So that's been good so far. But you know, and hopefully that continues to be that way. I'll knock on wood, because you never know. Every year there's a new group of kids and parents coming in, so it could change quickly. But that's kind of how we see things, and I like to keep it free flowing that way.
So now this goes back to, and this is more of a coaching question, just out of curiosity. Do you guys teach more roles, or do you guys teach positions? Because I feel like there's a difference, and this was a long lesson for me to learn when I was coaching, is that if you teach roles, it's easier to teach them how to switch positions, versus if you teach this is your position and they just understand, like, this is the lane that I have to play in. Well, if you teach the role of their player.
We're definitely role. When we explain what we want from players, and that's kind of the beauty of playing or doing as much possession oriented drills and being able to transfer those possession oriented drills to a game like setting. It's transferable. You can take that exactly what we did in this training session through a possession based training and apply it to your game, and it makes total sense. Once you do that, everyone starts understanding that every role in the field needs to be doing a certain thing in one way or another. You know, and with that being said, it's all able to make sense. I have wingers that I can slot into wing backs. I have center mids that can go play as strikers. I have right backs that can go in as center backs. It, because of the roles being taught, and less so the position being taught, then everyone knows, hey, this is what I need to do when I'm in this position, because this is what we did when we were doing possession. When I do possession-based drills, it's not, hey, this is my center mid in this possession. No, hey, this guy is the closest one to the ball. He's in the middle of the field. He needs to make sure that his hips are open up so he can turn and switch the field. That's my left back that's in the middle of the field that can now open up the field. All right, that's what a six does. Hey, guys, freeze. My six, eight, or 10 needs to be here within the gap, checking in and timing it correctly, not when the player is receiving and looking up and having the ball. It's before that player receives it, so that when he arrives, he's able to get and turn and get out of space and switch the field. And then all of a sudden you have kids that never play in the middle of the field, understanding, all right, hey, that's my six, that's my eight, or that's my 10, making that, you know, I should be checking into that gap when that's moving in this direction, so on and so forth. So easily transferable information to be able to apply to game settings makes players smarter, and with smarter players means you can have them play a lot of different positions and fill in where you want. And then now all of a sudden you have kids that can play or grow in the sport more than they would have if you're just teaching the position.
That's more of a personal question, just because I like that conversation. Now this relates back to the club. It's, do you guys have the same philosophy throughout the club then for that?
Yes. Alex and I did not speak a whole lot in our previous club, just because we were just never at the same field or training at the same time. But him and I 100% have like very, very, very similar mindsets soccer wise and training session wise. So literally just everyone in the club, and from us being the people that we are, we wanted the rest of the club to do the same, and it has. So, you know, the possession oriented training sessions and being able to transfer what they apply to games has been very successful. And now we have very smart players everywhere. Well, we say that. I'm a little biased when I say that. We have smart, what we think are smart players within our club that are now able to do that, to be able to play whatever role or and switch within those roles whenever they need to.
That's awesome. How do you as a club let kids play high school soccer?
I think it's a good experience to have. You know, you might not necessarily be playing the best of soccer with the high school soccer, depending on where you're at. Maybe you're playing better soccer than club soccer with the high school you're at. It just depends. But essentially what I think is you should represent your school, and it's a fun experience to have, to be playing with different people, with a different uniform, with a different coach, and enjoying yourself. That's kind of the main thing about high school soccer to me. Do you get bad habits? Yes. Will you get injured? Probably, because you're playing against, you know, less so nowadays, but back in my day, it used to be, hey, we have 13 soccer players and like 5 football players, and the football players are just going to go out there and kick the heck out of you.
Right.
And you're going to get injured, but you're still probably going to get injured in modern time with high school soccer. That's just the unfortunate truth. Might be less so football players and more so just because that's the style of high school soccer. And yeah, I mean, end of the day, it's important to have. You don't get to represent your city or your school very often. You get to represent the club, but it's different because it's something that you're paying for, that it less so of a public thing that you're like trying out and saying to your peers and friends in your school setting, oh yeah, I made this and this team. You know, it doesn't quite ring as well as, oh yeah, hey, I'm a freshman, I made the JV team of Allen High School, and I'm the only one that did that, so on and so forth. So it's a very good social thing to have, and I think it's important for the boys and girls to go through it. Now, my one negative thing about high school soccer is obviously that not every kid is going to make the team. And once you start getting into that part of it where you have a lot of good players not making the team, you know, then what did these kids do? You know, it hurts the social side of for them, you know. And again, you have to go through that rejection part in the sport, because that's how you grow. It should put a fire underneath your in your belly to work harder and become better. But at the same time, you have a lot of good players that aren't getting, you know, soccer minutes in a lot of months, and the rest of their team is. So now all of a sudden, let's say I have a 2007, and I'm using my 07s of this club because very fortunately, every one of the 07s that tried out for high school soccer made it. But let's just say a couple of them didn't. Now you have your entire team playing high school soccer and two of you not. What do you do? You know, you can't train because the rest of your team's doing high school soccer, because we, you know, they're not going to train during the week. So you just sit there kind of twiddling your thumbs and hoping for the best. Do you join an indoor team with random people or what? So, you know, to me, there is room for improvement, but it is a necessary evil. I'll call it evil just because of the injury factor. But I think it's a very necessary thing to have and very good thing to go through, just on a social side of things. And then if you're with a good team, then that's just kind of extra bonus points there for the kids, so that they can come back, you know, either a better player or a player with better experiences.
Right. Because obviously you do let your players, you encourage it from the sounds of it, because all your kids made a team. As a parent, you hear the negative side of it because you hear that club players can't play soccer, high school soccer. I know the rules have slightly changed over the years, or laws, whatever you want to call them, have allowed club players to go play soccer. And I know a lot of coaches give that part of the season off for as many boys as possible. Then they go work with other coaches, and at the larger clubs, at least with other coaches, and make another team to play indoor with. So they're still getting touches for the kids that didn't make it. So, but I'm glad to hear that you encourage, or I don't know if you are encouraging, but you allow it, because that's something that is missed. You guys actually do, like, you did skills. You guys do skills. Do you guys hold your own camps at all for your players or
people? We do a fitness camp in the summer, but that's about it, to be honest with you. The camp thing to us, you know, nine times out of 10, it's more so to be able to get quick cash with people that are already within your club. So for me, if you're going to run a camp, it needs to be different from what you're doing. So, you know, our training sessions are so geared towards what our philosophy is as a club in terms of, you know, what type of players we want and how to develop players, that if we went into a camp, we would have to go away from that. And that's just not the specialty of myself or Alex or the other two coaches involved, that it wouldn't be a worthwhile investment for parents to pay for such a thing. So that we're staying away from it due to that. Now, there might be a day where we do a finishing or goalkeeping and finishing camp, and we bring in some goalkeeper coach outside of the goalkeeper coach that we have now, and try to make something out of that where, all right, hey, goalkeepers are getting some work, and then Alex and I and Mario and Damon could start focusing on, hey, we need to work on finishing anyways. Let's do a camp about it and just, you know, get a little dual purpose camp, help the goalkeepers, help the bikers, and so on and so forth. But at this time, we have not done anything outside of the fitness camp that we had in the beginning of the summer that was free for Cross City players. And I think it was like $25 for non-Cross City players.
Well, that's what I'm looking at, is that our son, not just, he plays for Solar, but we don't send him just to Solar camps. Like, we try his club, but he's being coached by his coach or a coach that we know, and we want him to experience a new coaching style. It's like, we have certain coaches that we absolutely adore, and we send him, that Landon, to go to them. It's like, it's just because many voices, I think, do much better for players because they get different styles of coaching under the, they interact with a coach later on in life. They can figure out how to be coachable, I guess might be the better way of putting it. And that's sure. Because as an outsider, I mean, I'm hearing this, I would love to have Landon come to, if you guys had a camp and it was convenient for us to get him there to come play with you guys. It's just a matter of, is it something you guys actually do? I mean, we send Landon to FC Dallas camp every year because we like it, because he gets exposed to all these different international players most of the time, or people have a different background that he would normally run into, and exposes him to a different style of coaching and likes them and asks, like, and he sees them outside of normal soccer environments. It's great to have. And it's, I think as a parent, that's why I'm asking. It's not because I'm not thinking, I'm glad that you guys aren't looking at it as a way to get more money out of your parents. It's just not that important because it goes outside of your normal realm.
Yeah. Hey, I appreciate that. And yeah, you know, it's definitely something that we should probably look into a little bit more. We were worried because we wanted to make sure that there was a little bit more for it for the players. Because again, I don't want to hold a camp for because I mean, majority of the players are going to be players that are within the club or are a club. So I want to make sure it's something different. That's the whole point of a camp, is that, hey, as you said, it's something different in terms of learning, places, different in terms of coaching. So if we can provide that, then we can definitely make that happen for players. And, you know, in our experiences, we haven't had a lot of players outside of the club join our camp. So I guess that was kind of our main thought. So maybe we should look into it a little bit more and be open to it. Because, you know, if we open it up to players outside of the camp, well, I shouldn't say open up. We've had it open up for players outside of the camp. But if we think about it as in, hey, our goal is to get more players from outside of our club, then it's probably more of a benefit to everyone involved then.
Right. And I'm just looking at this from a parent perspective, because I like having my kids hear different voices. And to me, if you find a good coach and he goes to one camp a year with them and he sees them every year, eventually something from that camp will stick with those, with him. And the feedback you guys give is, it's because you don't see them every day. You only see them in that one setting. And it might be, the player might be having a rough week, but it might be something the player actually needs to fix. It's just that, because he's having a bad week, it gets emphasized more, and his normal coach might not see, or a coach within the club. That's why I like it, because I look at it as a chance for my player to grow. It's not anything more than that, and that's nothing against my own club. It's like, he still goes to, if we don't find a club or a camp we like, we'll still send him to his club camps that we have. But to me, at the end of the day, I'd rather have him being coached by someone that doesn't see him play regularly.
Yeah, that makes total sense.
Is there anything you would like to leave with families, check you guys out, to bring them to you guys, or anything you would like to say to families, soccer related or club related, that might spark something inside of them to be intrigued with you guys?
For sure. I appreciate that. And I first, I want to thank you for giving me the platform to be able to speak to you and talk about our club and what our deals are. So I appreciate that very much. And I guess my parting words for this would be, you know, it's in a crazy world of North Texas soccer, youth soccer, you know, everyone has their own saying and their own special thing. But one of the things that we feel are special for us is that we really do have that family value. And I'm sure that it's easier to hear and easier to say than it is to believe. And one of the things that I've had a lot of pride in is if you come out to a training session, you come out to a camp, you come out to see one of our games, you'll see the difference. That families are together, the coaches are together, the kids are together, and we act as one, we are as one, and we give back together as one. And we plan on doing this for many, many years and want to ensure that the small club environment continues thriving no matter what size we are and who we might have.
Who was your greatest influence to be where you are today?
The answer for me is my father. He loved having, you know, he loved playing soccer his entire life. He played collegiately and was hoping to make it to the big leagues. But back then, you know, he was a kid growing up in Utah and there wasn't a whole lot of avenues. So he was my inspiration to create avenues, accessible avenues for kids to make it to the next level. Because yeah, I think if he had the same opportunities I had, he would have done a lot more with his career than I did. And I for that reason, I want to be able to give kids back that ability to continue playing. You know, when he stopped playing, he said he was hungry and that hunger never went away. So he wanted to make, you know, he wanted to keep going. So I never want to leave a kid with that feeling of I have more to give and I don't have anywhere to give it to. So that was the inspiration, the cause, the reason. And the reason I grew up playing soccer was that man. And he's still very important in my life now. And he's the reason why I became a Manchester City fan. He's the reason why I became a soccer fan. He's the reason why I love the sport. And he's the reason I'm the player I was and the coach that I am.
Hello, and thank you for listening to Chat by the Pitch this past 2 weeks. Skyler was such a great guest, and listening to him talk about the club and the passion he has really sold me on what they're trying to do. I hope it sold you too. From the sounds of it, from the skills nights to hoping to start up some little weekend games to how they are trying to build a family format for their club. Trying to get players to reach for the next level where they want to be at. If it's just to go to college, if it's just to play soccer, to go pro or semi-pro or amateur, whatever it may be. Sounds like they have a plan for every player or athlete out there. Now, when you're looking for them, please check them out on their social media. So you can find them at Cross City Soccer Club. And they do have a website with Cross City. If you just look up Cross City in Allen, Texas, you'll find them. Thank you again for listening. We'll catch you next time at the pitch.